Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Easy's Community Focus, a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the organizations that are making a difference. Now, this year's presidential primary has been, we'll use the word different, to say the least. We have seen one of the largest candidate pools in years, which has been whittled to a handful, and that will affect what you do at the polls. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But with so much at stake, the Miami-Dade County Department of Elections wants to be sure that you have the information that you need to get your vote in, get it in accurately, and on time. So with the information you need to voice your choice, we're happy to welcome to the program the newest supervisor of elections in Miami-Dade County, Christina White. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. It is very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you were deputy supervisor and you've like worked your way up. How do you feel being chief now?
I feel great. Okay. And I feel it's all been leading up to this. I've been working in the department for 10 years. And as you said, I've had progressively increasing responsibility. And I'm definitely up for the challenge. And I think that we're going to have a great year ahead of us.
Okay. And as I mentioned in the introduction, it's been a kind of a strange election season so far. I don't think we've ever had this many candidates, so many independent candidates, people crossing from party to party, and not just the candidates crossing, but the voters crossing party to party. And that's a big issue here, right?
Yes, it is. Because Florida is a closed primary state, that means that voters must be a registered member of a political party and able to be able to vote for that party's nominee in the presidential preference primary. So meaning only registered Republicans can vote for the Republican candidates and on the Democratic side as well. So you do see a shift in no party affiliates wanting to change their party affiliation to one of those parties for an election like this because they want to have a say in a primary election.
Right. Okay, so the elections are on Tuesday, March 15th. Early voting has been underway since the beginning of this week. Have you had situations where people are showing up to early vote and are unable to because they have not changed their party affiliation or registered as a particular party yet?
Yes, unfortunately, that does happen statewide in every primary election where voters, unfortunately, either just are not aware of the law or they see the debates and commercials on TV and they assume that they can just show up and vote for whomever they're interested in. Unfortunately, the law doesn't allow that. You must be registered. And so my suggestion is always going to be call our department, look on your voter registration card, or go online to check your party affiliation before heading out to the polls.
Okay. When are the polls open for early voting? I know it's underway, but what are the hours and how many locations and where do you get information about that?
The best thing to do, again, is to call us or go onto our website. The days are, well, it started on February 29th and it will go through March 13th. So it's a full 14 days of early voting. We have 20 locations all throughout Miami-Dade County. Voters can go to any of the sites that are convenient to them. That's the beauty in early voting. You're not required to go to your specific location.
Right.
We do have hours that vary depending on the day and the week because we want it to be as convenient as possible for all of our voters' varying schedules. So it's probably a little too much to rattle off right now. So either call or go online for those hours.
Okay. And if you're ready to do it at this moment, you can go to call 311, which is the general answer everything Miami-Dade County line. And of course, miamidade.gov/elections. And that's where you find voter registration information. You'll find where your precinct is to vote if you're going to wait until Tuesday the 15th, and how to change your party if you want to do that. But it's too late for this election, right?
That's right. The deadline to register to vote or to change your party affiliation for an upcoming election is always going to be 29 days prior to that election. So for this primary, you are what you are currently registered as. But if you want to make that change for future primary purposes, you can still do that as long as it's within the 29 days prior.
Okay. Now, in the actual primary, or not the primary, the final election, the presidential election in November, you can vote cross-party.
That's correct. That's a very important distinction. In a presidential election, in any general election, in fact,
right,
regardless of your party affiliation, everybody gets the same ballot that is for your area, and you can vote for anybody you want, cross party lines, completely up to you. It's just during the primary election that you would then vote within your party.
Okay. So if you had wanted to cross parties for the primary on March 15th, it is too late for that. You can still cross parties for the November election, but you don't actually need to because you can vote across parties. What about for the local elections?
It depends on the office.
Okay.
The August 30th primary election, which is, you know, your state house, your Senate, judges, county mayor, commissioners, things like that, will be on that ballot. Some races are nonpartisan, so everybody gets them regardless of your affiliation. But then there are others that are partisan races, so that the same rules would apply. You would get the ballot from within your party for a primary election.
Okay. One of the things that we've seen, and I was wondering how you are dealing with it, because it's changing on a daily basis, candidates are dropping out of the race. How are you able to handle that when you've got to have ballots printed up in advance?
So there is a very big distinction between candidates who have suspended their campaign and those that have withdrawn.
Okay.
To date, none of these candidates that you're hearing about on TV have officially withdrawn from the race. And so therefore, they all remain on the ballot. Votes cast for them remain as valid votes. It is up to the voter to know this information and to vote for whom they want to on that ballot. Now, at such time that that candidate officially withdraws, that would happen at the state level. They would notify all supervisors of elections throughout the state, and then we would begin the notification process to our voters saying that votes cast for such and such candidate do not count. We are not at that point today for any candidates.
Okay, and if that were to happen, people can't then change their vote, can they? It's too late.
It is too, right. You, once you've cast your ballot, if you mail us your absentee ballot or you go in and vote during early voting or on election day, once you've cast your ballot, you cannot vote again. You have officially cast your ballot.
What else is unusual about this election that you're having to deal with at Miami-Dade County?
I'd like to remind the voters of Miami-Dade County that we have recently reprecincted. What we've done is we've redistributed our voting population so that there aren't too many voters going to one particular location on election day. So we don't have that overcrowding that some people experienced in 2012. And so the result of that is that precincts have changed.
Okay.
It wasn't a very large percentage of our voters. It was somewhere around 12%. But nevertheless, it's very important before you head out to that same location that you've always been voting at for the last 10 years,
right,
that you again check your voter information card, you call, you go on the website just to confirm, because you may have been somebody that was subjected to a change for this election. And it would remain the same through all of 2016, but this may be the first election in which you're going to a new location.
Did you reach out to voters by mail, by email, to let them know if their precinct had been changed?
All voters were notified by mail with the new voter information card, and then we also sent a reminder letter to those voters that were impacted, telling them that a change occurred and they're going to a new location. But, you know, once again, in case you didn't see your mail,
right,
it's always good to just double check.
Okay. And again, the website is miamidade.gov/elections. Can people still, I know they can't register at this point, can people still vote absentee ballot?
The deadline to request an absentee ballot is March 9th, so you still have time.
And how does that get to you in time by the 15th?
I wouldn't wait until March the 9th to request your absentee ballot. That's a state law, so it provides by statute enough time for us to get you that ballot and for you to vote it quickly and get it back to us. But that is a very good point. That ballot must be in the hands of the supervisor of elections by 7 p.m. on election night. So whether you have your ballot at home already and you're waiting to see what's happening with candidates, or you haven't quite decided just yet, or you wait until that last minute to make the request, you have to make sure that we have it at the department by election night at 7 p.m. And if you're in doubt, I would go early vote or go to vote on election day instead.
Okay. Do you have to mail the absentee ballot? Can you drop it off in person?
You can drop it off in person to our office in Doral, or we also have a satellite office in downtown Miami as well.
Okay. And again, on the website, miamidade.gov/elections, or call 311. What do people need to know if they're actually planning to go on election day? In the past, we've had some long lines. Do they need to be concerned about that? What kind of identification do they need to bring?
If you wait until election day to vote, again, check where your most recent precinct is located before you head out. That would be my number one suggestion. Secondly, polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. As long as you're in line by 7 p.m., you'll be able to vote. The required identification is a photo ID that contains a signature. The best thing to bring with you is your driver's license or Florida ID if you have it. But there are a number of other allowable IDs that you can bring with you.
Can you make any kind of changes at the polls? If you need to change your address, anything other than, as we know, party affiliation, you can't do on the day of. Are there other things that you can get done in person at the polls?
You can change your address on election day. It's not something I recommend you do because it may end up requiring that you go to a different precinct altogether because your voting location is tied to where you live.
Okay.
So if you show up at your precinct and decide to change your address, we may be sending you to a new location. So that's something that you would want to do in advance, but you could do it on election day.
Okay. In your 10 years working in the Department of Elections, how often has someone questioned you or brought up the topic of when will we be able to vote online? And as you look forward as the new supervisor of elections, is that anything that would be in our foreseeable future?
That comes up from time to time, but for security reasons, it's something that I think always ends up just falling off of the radar. It's not something that it would be specific to Miami-Dade.
Okay.
That is something that would have to happen at the state level through our legislature. I don't see any bills circulating to that degree just yet. I can tell you that what was recently passed is a new law so that voters can register online.
Okay.
So I think that's a step in the direction of the 21st century, if you will.
Right.
But voting online, I don't think we're there yet.
Okay. What are our ballots going to look like this year in this primary?
This election, it's a very simple ballot.
Okay.
It's just the one race. And if you live in Miami, Miami Beach, and Surfside, you have one or two questions and a couple other candidates. So a very short ballot, not anticipating any sort of long lines for this election at all.
Okay.
And then, you know, of course, as we move on to the next two big elections, the ballot content does get a little bit longer, but the department has made great strides since 2012 when we had some criticism for some long lines in,
right,
in a certain number of our polls, that I think voters will experience a much more pleasant experience in 2016.
Yeah, well, certainly the addition of 2 weeks of early voting has made a huge difference. I know that's been a process that you've been working on cycle after cycle to really make it more convenient for voters. Do you get feedback from people on how they like it, or do they have suggestions that they present to you?
Everybody that I've spoken to is very appreciative of the fact that we've gone back to the 14 days of early voting.
Okay.
The state allows you a minimum of 8, a maximum of 14. Our county's been committed to the full 14 days, so I know that we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about that. And the other thing we've done since then, since 2012, is we now have that electronic check-in system that moves people through the check-in process much quicker, which was a bottleneck for us back in 2012.
Right.
So that's another thing that we're getting a lot of positive feedback for.
Yeah, it's amazing what a difference a few years makes with current technology and how fast it evolves. So you've really been able to put that in place. Let's just go back over the details one more time of Election Day, where to get all the information, and if anyone has questions, how they can reach out.
Okay, great. So early voting is offered again at 20 convenient locations all throughout Miami-Dade County through March 13th, which is the Sunday before Election Day. I see there to be no reason to wait until Election Day to vote for this election. Either vote early or you can vote by absentee ballot as long as you get that request into us by March the 9th. If you do decide to wait until Election Day, that's March 15th, Tuesday, March 15th. And you must vote at your assigned precinct on that day if you do decide to wait.
Okay.
If you have any questions, of course, you can call 311 or miamidade.gov/elections.
I'm excited for you and for the Department of Elections because you're so on the ball and so succinct about everything. It's like you've got everything in place. You know exactly what to do. Do you have any plans for what you want to do moving forward?
I will say at the elections department and managing that operation for as long as I possibly can. It's a true passion for me, and I feel very honored to have this position and to be able to facilitate democracy for our voters. So I don't see any other options in my future right now.
Very exciting. All right. I'm glad to hear it, and I thank you for your time. Christina White, our new supervisor of elections in Miami-Dade County, thank you for sharing all this information.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
In part two of Easy's Community Focus, we are going to talk about mosquitoes. There has been a lot of talk about the Zika virus. We know that the virus is carried by mosquitoes. And five counties in Florida are under a state declaration of emergency as a result of imported Zika cases. These haven't been transmitted locally. People travel to other countries that don't have the same kind of controls that we have here in the United States and in Florida, and especially in Miami Dade County. Now, typically, mosquito season in South Florida is from May to October. Residents, however, have been asking a lot of questions because of this state declaration of emergency. So to answer those questions about exactly what Miami-Dade County is doing to control the mosquito population, I'm very happy to welcome Chalmers Vasquez, the Mosquito Control Operations Manager for Miami-Dade County. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And from the Miami-Dade County Public Works and Waste Management Department, Communications Manager Frank Calderon. How are you doing, Frank?
All right. How you doing, Ellen? Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. I mean, I know there's a lot of concern and you want to make sure that people have the facts straight. Of course, nobody likes mosquitoes. And aside from the obvious reasons that they're annoying and they bite, why are mosquitoes a problem in addition to that?
Well, mosquitoes, you know, transmit disease, and that's our main concern around this time with the declaration of the state emergency by Governor Scott. Unfortunately, you know, we have this mosquito that is capable of transmitting these viruses, including dengue, chikungunya, and Zika now. So they are quite a formidable enemy for our area, and we have it, and We're trying to avoid, you know, that somebody introduces the virus in our area and we have some kind of transmission locally. So far it hasn't happened, and we expect it won't happen because then we'll have a problem. So we are fighting the enemy as much as we can. We are responding to a requisition from the health department and people that are coming back to the country infected with the virus. And so far, you know, we've been lucky. We've been doing a good job. And we don't have a local transmission, and we hope, you know, it remains that way for the longest time.
Okay. Now, how exactly does Miami-Dade County Mosquito Control control the mosquitoes?
Well, this is a what is called a domestic mosquito. And this is the one that we are really concerned about right now. We have another situation during the summertime, but what we were talking about is this domestic mosquito. This mosquito breeds in the very close with human habitation around homes and front and backyards. And what we've been doing is, you know, we come out, our inspector come out every time we receive a mosquito situation that needs to be controlled. We try to eliminate as much as possible, you know, breeding grounds, small containers. This mosquito species specializes in exploiting small accumulation of water. So what we're telling people is that help us out to eliminate this situation, and we will be okay, you know, in the sense that we are denying these mosquitoes a place for reproducing. When we find mosquitoes, adult mosquitoes, and we normally spray, you know, using a handheld sprayer, directing the spray towards where the mosquitoes may be breeding, which is normally, you know, bushes and the vegetation. We're not doing at this time truck spraying or area spraying because it's not the most effective method for controlling this mosquito species. But we are concentrating in eliminating the breeding grounds and focally, you know, spraying with the handheld sprayer. This mosquito show a time of activity, a very short time, early in the morning, early in the evening, and they remain most of the time resting during the day. So, as I said, what I've been doing is to try to control and kill them with spraying, you know, where they're resting. The other mosquito species, they remain active during most of the night. So in that case, you know, aerial spraying or ground spraying is very effective for controlling them.
Okay, so you guys can do that on your end. The residents can do their part. What do you need homeowners and business people to do in their communities to make sure they're doing their part to prevent any kind of breeding of mosquitoes?
The idea is that residents or, you know, property owners in general eliminate any accumulation of water, no matter how big or small it is, especially containers. When we're talking this mosquito is a container breeder. If everybody start doing that, we will not have much of a problem because, you know, this mosquito will have not a habitat where to reproduce. We are talking, you know, small containers, buckets, kiddie pools, or discarded tires, you know, any container of water. You know, sometimes even some people have even found mosquitoes breeding in plastic bottle caps.
Oh God! Okay.
You know, so that's a way to emphasize, you know, that any accumulation of water, no matter how small it is, has the potential for breeding these mosquitoes. So this is the idea. Even plants that accumulate water need to be taken care of. And the way to take care of those situations is, you know, flushing these plants on a regular basis. So the mosquito larvae and the mosquito egg can be eliminated or flushed out of these plants, but that needs to be done on an ongoing basis, because remember, when you do that, you flush them out with a garden hose, you're leaving water behind. So though you're leaving water behind, so mosquitoes are going to come and try to colonize that accumulation of water again. So that's very important for our residents to do, and that will minimize completely the somebody who comes infected with the virus and become in contact with a local mosquito population and initiate transmission. So that's what the World Health Organization is recommending, and the CDC is recommending, and everybody is recommended at this point that the most effective method to control or try to avoid the establishing of the virus in our area and transmission can start from that point.
Hey, Frank here. I'm going to jump in really quick, just piggybacking off of what Chalmers said.
Uh-huh.
And just to let our residents know that they are the front line of defense in this war against mosquitoes. And it's very important to recruit, go out and tell your neighbors as well, because you could have the best mosquito-free yard in South Florida, but you know, if the neighbor is breeding mosquitoes, it's not going to do you any good. So it's important to recruit your neighbor as
okay.
well in this fight.
That is exactly right, Ellen. This is a community problem. It's not an individual problem. It's not a government problem. It's not mosquito control. It's everybody's problem. And as such, you know, it needs to be everybody pitching in, you know, to avoid this situation.
Okay. Now, would an average person recognize a breeding ground, or you would only know you have mosquitoes once they're biting you?
If they look closely, they should be able to recognize mosquito breeding in containers. You know, most people are not trained on that, but I believe if they look closely in the containers, that they will see, you know, the mosquito larvae, the wigglers in the water, or the tumblers, which is the mosquito pupa, ready to become adult at the biting stage of the mosquito. So, but they may not need to get to that, you know. As soon as you realize you have a water, the container hold the water in your jar, just dump it. Dump it and place it in the position that you render incapable of holding water again. That's the idea. That's the main thing. Now, when you see adult mosquitoes around your home, and you're going to be at the time outdoors, at the time that these mosquitoes are more active, so the recommendation is cover. And cover could be, you know, using the appropriate garment, you know, long sleeves or loose long sleeves, and use a repellent, you know, the expose the skin to keep mosquito from biting you.
Okay, are there certain kinds of repellents that work best?
Yeah, there are two or three brand names in the market. You know, the traditional DEET, Skin So Soft is being recommended, but Skin So Soft is only recommended for a very short time. It doesn't repel mosquito for a long time. There is another, Picaridin, is also being recommended. So there is a choice on what is recommended, though, is that you need to read the label of the repellent before using, so you use it in the right way.
Okay, and you mentioned that they do most of the breeding at dusk and dawn.
No, what I was referring to is the activity of these mosquitoes. This mosquito that transmits Zika, dengue, and chikungunya is very active, or is most active during early in the morning. In our area during the summertime, probably is between 7 at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then in the evening before it gets dark. After those times, they pretty much resting. They don't fly very actively, and that's what makes it very difficult for aerial applications or for ground application by truck to control them. So it is a very narrow window of time where they actively fly. Sometimes it's very difficult to coincide the pesticide application with those times. But of course, you know, if you stay long enough in a shady, cool corner of the house or in the vegetation, after a few minutes they will come to you and try to bite you. But they will be very active, looking for a blood meal. At those two times, you know, they're called crepuscular mosquitoes, dawn and dusk.
Yeah, you know, I remember when we spoke last year about the chikungunya outbreak or the concern about the mosquitoes carrying chikungunya. You described how you find mosquitoes and that they really are attracted to blood and the smell of blood and the sweetness, because there's always the joke about, oh, I have sweet blood, that's why they like me so much. Can you tell that story again about how you stick your arm out?
Yeah. Mosquitoes don't, you know, we attract mosquitoes in different ways. Some mosquitoes are attracted to, you know, a possible host in different ways. They go by humidity, they go by temperature, they go by visual cues, and they go by odors. You know, remember the carbon dioxide that we exhale when to speak. That's a very attractive compound for mosquitoes, and that's probably the most important way how we attract them. And there are some chemicals and compounds that in the sweat that are attractive to mosquitoes. People who drink beer, they say, and it is documented, they are more attractive to mosquitoes. Pregnant women may be attracted to mosquitoes, and the reason is probably because the temperature is a little bit higher than a normal person.
Okay.
So there are scientists or researchers have research University of Florida. He had identified at some point more than 300 different chemical compounds that attract mosquitoes, including sweat socks. The cheese smell is very attractive to mosquitoes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Where can someone get this kind of information or call for assistance if they've got a mosquito control problem?
Well, Frank, here, I'll jump in on this one. They can call in Miami-Dade County, they can call 311. Mm-hmm. Residents can call 311. They can also visit our website, www.miamidade.gov/solidwaste. We also have the Florida Department of Health in Miami-Dade County has their website, which is a little bit long. It's Miami-Dade, all one word, .floridahealth.gov, miamidade.floridahealth.gov. Again, our website, again, is www.miamidade.gov/solidwaste. You can go there for information on mosquito control. You can go there for information on the health department's more for information on Zika and other diseases, of course. And for us, it's more on the mosquito control and the things you can do and, how to report if you have an issue or whatever with mosquitoes, which, again, also you can do by calling 311.
Excellent. And then for anyone who's concerned about how it's transmitted or may have been bitten and they're worried if they think, what if they've gotten the virus, would you recommend they call the health department, the CDC, or just go to their doctor?
I believe the local health department is taking care of those situations. I believe people, especially maybe pregnant women that travel abroad, you know, some time ago or very recently, they can contact the local health department and they may be tested for the virus. And the reason is, I believe, is that, you know, remember 80% of the people don't show any symptoms to this disease. I mean, it's very hard to remember you went to some place maybe 2 or 3 months ago and you were bitten by mosquitoes. It's kind of hard to remember. So they offering that people, that they fear to have been bitten by mosquitoes and they may fear that they may have been infected with the virus and they can contact the local health department.
Okay. And Frank, I'm sure they can call 311 also for information on the health department.
Well, 301 should be able to transfer them to the health department. Yes. The health department, of course, they're a different entity from us, but The state has a Zika virus information hotline that's open 24/7, and I can give you that number. That is 855-622-6735.
Perfect.
So people have questions about Zika specifically can call that number.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you both so much for all of the background, and I wish you a safe mosquito season. Frank Calderon, Communications Manager with Miami-Dade County Public Works and Waste Management Department, and from the Mosquito Control Unit, Chalmers Vasquez. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Ellen.
You've been listening to EZ's Community Focus this morning. If you would like to suggest a topic or have comments, you can email me at ellen@easy93.com.